Phil Hendry.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Joining us this evening from the little... where is he tonight? It's Dean Wheeler and his wife, Emeralda. Bud, do you know?
Bud, they're in a valley, a jazz club on a valley, and I'm not sure...
Well, let's find out where he is. Is the club or a jazz club in the valley?
No, I think it was not the Bendo's, right? Yeah, that's it. Bendo's up in North Hollywood.
In North Hollywood. All right. So at Bendo's in North Hollywood, because his wife, Dean Wheeler's wife, sings at a club now. She was at the last time we heard her singing was at that fundraiser.
Was that the movie that the documentary that Dean Wheeler done?
Oh, that's right. He had done that documentary. They were having a post-documentary party, and she was singing at...
That was the most disingenuous laugh I ever heard.
Well, thank you very much.
No, I'm just... What were you laughing at?
I was laughing at the memory of Dean and his wife when they were at that club.
Well, Phil, you went, like that. It was...
Yeah, it sounded kind of fake.
It was, you want to know something? It was the most honest laugh that I've had probably all day. Just the thought of Dean and his wife made me laugh, I guess, and if not, did it sound fake?
That sort of, yeah.
This is how it sounded, Phil. You went, huh.
No, it was actually very genuine.
All right. I'm not trying to nitpick.
You? No, never.
Well, Phil, if you want to get into it.
No, I don't want to get into it, okay? We're going to have Dean Wheeler. We're also going to have with us Larry Grover, and we're going to talk about the candidacy of Mitt Romney, specifically to a question raised by Stephen Colbert the other night on his show, a question that in the minds of some people destroys, and I mean completely destroys, Mitt Romney's tax plan. And all it was one simple question, believe it or not. So we're going to be talking with Dean here in just a moment. Our number, 877-876-7445. I'd like to thank, as well, Father James McQuarters for joining us this evening as they made their rounds. We also want to remind you that we're online at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. You get access to over 4,500 hours, close to 5,000 hours of Phil Hendry Show material going back over a decade. We also have a video archive there. We also have archives of older videos, older television appearances, TV pilots, radio interviews. We have an entire press section there. We have a news feed in which I contribute a comment now and again. I'm always in there. We are very busy to you BSPs. I've been very busy the last 5-6 days. I haven't really been interacting the way I like to, but I jump in there from time to time and talk with folks about the things that are happening. It is there on our website, to be honest with you, where most of the stuff that I tell you here on the air is where I first talk about it. So our backstage pass members are the people that get it first.
So in other words, you have to pay money to get the... Oh, God.
No, you don't have to pay money. It's just that my BSPs are there, and so whatever else is going on with Phil Hendry, they find out about it first. Okay. And we did talk, as a matter of fact, at length, although we did not have a very big pre-show tonight, we did talk at length about one of the issues that I brought up in the news feed on our website, having to do with new digital management for our website, having to do with some background on our one-man show that we are currently rehearsing, having to do with some background on social media. There's a bunch of stuff there, so you can't go wrong at philhenryshow.com. Dean Wheeler going to join us tonight. He's at Bendo's there in North Hollywood, talking to him. And also we have Larry Grover, I think. Larry's at home, so let's get Larry on the line. And Dean, how are you tonight, sir? It's good of you to be with us.
Well, Phil, I'm doing very good, and I appreciate very much you having us on your program tonight. And Emeralda's going to be joining a very good band here tonight, and is going to be singing some of the things you heard her sing the other night when we were at the fundraiser in San Francisco, but we're down in your neck of the woods tonight here in Southern California. We're enjoying it very much.
Is she singing now?
I'm sorry?
Is she singing now?
She's about to go up on stage, yeah.
Okay. And we also have Larry Grover on the line with us. We've got a line. Larry, how are you?
Well, I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on. I do very much want to talk about Stephen. Any chance I get to talk about Stephen Colbert, I'm all in.
And I am too, Phil, although it's probably for different reasons.
Well, we are going to talk about Stephen Colbert, a question that he asked on his show the other night.
Phil, can you hold on for a minute? There's Emeralda singing.
I can hear music in the background. Is that your wife?
Yes, it is.
Here. sounds tasty, huh?
I beg your pardon?
No, I meant it as a compliment. I said she sounds...
Well, she is my wife, and yes, she is very tasty, I can tell you that. I'm very... happily, she's been she's been my wife and tasty to me only for 10 years.
No, I didn't mean anything by it. I meant no disrespect.
No disrespect taken. I can't hear her, though.
Okay. It sounds like she's doing the same song she did the other night.
Yeah, it's part of her... this is a song called... What is this song called? This is Loneliness With You. Yeah, Loneliness With You. It's a song that was written by a good friend of ours, Dale Winhart. I can't hear her, though. What is that noise?
Well, it could be. We've got Larry on the line.
Oh. Can you go get on hold or shut a window or
something? I beg your pardon, sir?
I can't hear my wife singing because your line's noisy.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm sitting here. I'm driving. You know, but I'm driving, but I'm hands-free driving, Phil, just so you know. I'm hands-free driving.
No, I understand that. But it is a little, I guess we can't hear.
I can't hear my own wife. Can you roll up a window? I don't like this piano player. That's the problem.
All right, let's talk about what we wanted to talk about, gentlemen. And I have here the Stephen Colbert clip. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to this, because this is the question that he asked on his show that many people are saying absolutely destroys the Mitt Romney tax plan.
Say that again?
Can you hear me?
I'm trying to hear my wife. Hold on, just... La-da-da-doo-doo. I can't hear her. God.
Yeah. Well, I wish I could help you out, pal, but I'm here on the Phil Hendry Show. I didn't come on to listen to your wife.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Let's listen now to Steve. Are you guys with me?
Yeah, Phil, I can hear you.
Yeah, Phil.
All right, here is the...
Hold on. That trumpet player. I'm going to wrap that horn around it.
You okay?
No, I'm not. Go ahead and play the Colbert clip, Phil. It'll probably cheer me up.
It's not going to cheer me up. It's going to make me feel sad, but I'll be happy ripping it apart.
Well, I'll be happy ripping you apart after you rip it apart.
For 2 years now, Mitt Romney has been a severe conservative. But last week, he moved to the center in his victorious debate. So which is the real Mitt Romney? Well, a mystery this deep requires a man who really knows the meaning of to thine own self
drink,
be
huh?
true.
Give me a drink.
Me, Stephen Colbert. This
Extra.
Is Formidable Opponent.
Put some booze in it.
I can hear him.
Stephen, thank you for joining me. Well, I'll go on any show to promote my new book, America Again, Rebecoming the Greatness
the
We
player.
Never Weren't. Next week, I'm co-hosting Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, because a dollar makes me holla. Well, I'd never stoop that low myself, but I've got to admire shameless
self-promotion.
Is he going
to get to the question?
Hold on, will you, Larry?
There's some shame. Well, I'd love an autographed copy. You bet. Okay, here we go.
Can somebody get me a drink, please?
To Stephen, you complete me. Stephen, all right. There you go. Oh, thanks very much. Okay, Stephen, voters respond to authenticity.
Here
so
is.
Mitt's clear victory in the first debate proves his new moderate values are the real ones. You are adorable. Who got sucked in by Romney? Who got sucked in? Who did? No, I didn't. Yes, you did. Knock it off. Who doesn't like when I talk like this? You don't. Hey, if anyone fell for it, it's you hardliners when you nominated Mitt. I mean, for Pete's sake, he gave us Romney Care, the inspiration for Obamacare, which he will repeal and replace with more Romney Care, which he leaves up to the individual states. And I am sure Mississippi will step right up to the plate. Hey, he is looking out for the middle class. He's promising a 20% tax cut for the top 1%. But he's also promising to close their tax loopholes so they'll still pay the same amount. Then why cut their taxes?
There it is.
Oh, that's horse crap.
No, that's...
I don't know. but I just don't see how a guy can change his beliefs overnight and still come off as credible in a debate. Oh, that's easy. Here, let's switch sides. Okay.
Okay. Dean, I can hear you.
I already heard this segment about a half a million times.
Now you're me.
All right, so I'm sorry, folks. We were just running the segment, and you heard there. It's the question there. Larry, you with us?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm ready to respond.
All right, hold on. And Dean, you're still listening to your wife?
Well, yeah, Phil, I'm not. You know, I manage my wife. She's a professional singer, and she's on stage right now. I know I agreed to come on your program and do this segment. You're absolutely right, and I'm very happy to do this. I just heard the horn player, and we had rehearsed this over and over again. And I told Emeralda, I said, when she first sang, are we talking about this guy's wife, or what are we talking?
We're going to talk about, hold on, Dean, I got to talk about the Colbert segment.
Okay, fine.
If you don't want to, you're more than happy to, I mean, I'm more than happy.
I'm more than happy. Yes, I would be, but I made a commitment, and I'm here.
I understand, but we don't need you here if you're not going to.
I'm here. Can I say something, Phil, because I've been chomping at the bit. When I just heard that Colbert segment that you played where you say that this is the question he asked destroys Mitt Romney's tax plan. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right. Let me
just to say one thing, that's what the claim is. Look, I've always known what Mitt Romney has been. Mitt Romney has been a Republican of the most modern variety. I don't want to call him progressive, but Mitt Romney is definitely not a hardline conservative.
And you've always known that, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah. As long as he's been a candidate for president, sure.
All right. Well, number one, Colbert says that Romney's going to close the tax loopholes, even though he's promised to cut taxes for the top 1%. He's going to close the tax loopholes so they don't get away with paying less in taxes.
Correct. And then he said, why cut their taxes?
Right. First of all, you got to understand, Stephen Colbert is a comic. He's saying things to get a laugh, okay? And he does get laughs. And he's playing to a friendly audience. They're laughing. He's laughing. You probably were laughing. Everyone's laughing at Stephen Colbert, and nobody's paying attention to what he's saying until when he finally says something, everyone goes, oh, how brilliant.
Yeah, but what about what he said isn't true? He's absolutely right when he says, why cut the taxes of the rich when you're closing all these tax loopholes so that they will pay more in taxes? What's the point there?
The point is that we've got to get investment going again in this country. And you get investment going by keeping more money in the pocket of the individuals that are the primary force, the monetary force in this country, and that is those individuals that are the owners and the employers and the people that are creating, if you will, these jobs, these businesses, and this money.
All right, understood. But then he's going to close the tax loopholes, quote unquote. That's a big. Oh, we got to take a break. Sorry.
I'm going to say, Phil, because I got to go up and talk to this horn player.
Okay, and
are we talking to horn players?
Hold on, please, gentlemen. We'll be right back. Sorry, Dan, I missed the clock. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Player. I want to meet a horn player. The guy that plays the cornet. Yeah, that guy. Not the trumpet, the cornet.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-7445. What, bud?
Well, I'm getting a lot of people who say on a video cast that you talk so loud, sometimes it distorts.
Yes, I hear people say, they'll say, oh my God, you know, they'll hold their ears.
What do you mean it distorts? I thought we put a limiter in.
Yeah, we did put a limiter in, but I think Elaine got to come out here and put another one in.
Is the old one busted or something?
No, it's good, but I think, I don't know, man. I think probably then maybe reset or something.
Yeah, it probably needs to be reset because it's distorting.
Jesus.
What happened to you?
I was trying to remember what to say.
God, Bud, you're all like, dee. Anyway.
Yeah, but I got it out.
Yes, you did get it out. But then a flasher gets it out. It depends on what you're pulling out, you know.
Funny.
Anyway, on the line with me is Dean Wheeler from Bendo's in the Valley here in Los Angeles. He's with his wife, Emeralda. She's singing tonight. And we also have Larry Grover with us from Culver City, California tonight. And
I had a beautiful, I could hear my wife singing, and now I hear that. God,
I'm sorry, I'm going to try to pull over here, and if I can, if you, Phil.
Yeah, it's pretty loud.
All right.
Let me put you on hold while you pull over. We'll get Dean on the line. Okay, so Dean, how's it going over there?
Yeah, it's going pretty good. I have some questions. Emeralda was singing, and the cornet player started to irritate me because he was freelancing and he was doing the whole, I wish I could, I don't play the horn, but you know what I mean?
Well, I could hear him, his solo.
Yeah, well, the solo is fine. I got nothing against the solo. I got nothing against the solo. I got nothing against the guy doing a horn solo. But if you're going to do a horn solo right over top of my wife singing, now you're, you know, as Merle Haggard once said, you're on the fighting side of me. It's one thing to play your horn, and he doesn't play it very well, but okay, you know, we'll let you be Miles Davis for a night, pal, whatever you want to do. But when you blow that thing over top of real talent, now you and I are going to have words. And so he came off the bandstand. I said I wanted to see him, and he avoided me because I guess he knew I was going to straighten that thing out. This guy plays a horn. Have you ever seen these horns that are bent? They got a...
What do you mean, these horns that are bent?
He plays a horn that's like he took it and he tied it in a knot.
Well, that's what a cornet is.
I thought that was just the name of a different kind of... I thought it was like a bugle that they gave a different name to.
A bugle?
Yeah. You know, a bugle.
I don't think of a bugle as a jazz instrument.
Well, that's what he's playing, a bugle. You know, why can't it be a jazz instrument? Bugles are good. Only this bugle was tied in a knot.
No, that the cornet has little twists to it. It has loops to it, okay?
I don't know any... What are you talking about?
Well, what are you talking about? Look, I don't want to talk about your wife's singing career, Dean. I want to talk about the Stephen Colbert appearance in which he said...
All right. Hold on.
Where is he?
He got on hold. He got to go talk to his wife.
Bud, say that again.
He's on hold. He got to talk to his wife.
He said he's going to go talk to his wife.
No. I know what he's trying to say. Can't you...
Yeah, well, I'm in a hurry, man. I'm trying to answer phone and everything. God.
So he's talking to his wife. All right. I know that Larry Grover is out there, and he's probably on hold. All right, let me get to Larry, and joining us, that's Dean, that's the club. Where is Larry? Larry Grover joining us online here. Larry, sorry, that sounds a lot better.
I'm sorry, Phil, I was in transit here, and I heard the argument that you were having with Dean Wheeler, and it sounds like there's certain people in this world that are a pain in the you-know-what, and that guy is a pain not only in the you-know-what, he is a pain that goes from the you-know-what all the way up. I don't know how to say it other than the fact that I was listening to the Milwaukee Lion broadcast that you guys have on your website, and I was listening to Jack I Gag there at the game. Did you hear the game last week?
Which game?
The Portland game?
No.
Oh, the guy ran it back for a touchdown at the end of the game, right?
Oh, yeah, that was a heartbreaker.
Yeah, well, and Gagner said on the air, and this is why I like this guy, he said, that guy running that back for a touchdown, he might as well have run that right up my blankety-blank. And that's what I mean about Wheeler. He not only is a pain in the blankety-blank, but it's like he's up there, I don't know.
Okay, got point made. All right. So, tell me again why you think Stephen Colbert is wrong when he says that Romney's entire tax plan is a fraud, because if all you have to do is cut the tax loopholes, okay, and so on and so forth, then why cut taxes?
All right, well, first of all, it's a rather simple-minded plan, or it's rather a simple-minded comment, because there's an awful lot involved in the people. I feel I'm back. Is that better?
Yeah, but why did you do... Hold on for a minute, okay?
I'm sorry?
Would you hold on for just a minute? I got Larry Grover. I got Larry Grover on the line. We have to put him on hold.
Yes, thank you, Bill. So,
hold on. I got to go to a break.
Come on, will you?
Hold on. Bud, would you get this under control? I got two pissed off guests now.
I'm trying to get it under control. That guy called back. Moves to get put me on air, and Mr. Henry wanted me on.
Okay, well, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Sorry, Bud.
Doing what you want me to do.
No, I understand.
Hi, Phil. I'm ready to talk about Stephen Colbert. Phil? Hello, Phil.
Phil Henry.
Before we get back here with Dean, Larry Grover on the line with us. Larry is from Conservatives of Kern County, and Larry is a guy that you know, has followed the political campaigns of a great many people in a great many political seasons, Larry.
Oh, yeah. We've been around. The Conservatives of Kern County have touted and have supported some of the great conservative candidates for president, for senator, for governor of the state of California, certainly. And we also have our own candidate running for the state senate here. Out of my old district of District 16, my hat's off to Jim Blue, and we call him Old Blue, just like the dog of the same name. Although he's not a dog in the sense that he's got fleas, he is a loyal friend to the taxpayer and the small businessman of the state of California. And I'm here to tell you that Old Blue, Jim Blue. If you vote for Old Blue for state senator this year in the state of California, you can do worse, my friend, because this is a man that's going to fight for every small businessman, every small employer, every taxpayer, every homeowner. In other words, the people in this state that pay the freight. And I don't know why it is that the people that pay the freight, why are they looked down upon by the Democratic Party? Why are the people who pay the freight, who pay the taxes, who pay for the sustenance of the state and of the country, why are they looked down upon by the Democratic Party like they're the scum of the earth?
Well, do you think that the Democratic Party's message is a little different? If I could just say this, Larry, the Democratic Party's message is there are a lot of Democrats who are homeowners, who are taxpayers, who are small business owners, and their opinion is slightly different, that they believe they have a duty or responsibility of some kind. You know,
whoa, hold the line here, because Republican voters and Republican business, they're not saying they don't have a duty or a response. Look, let me tell you something, Phil. You can give money to an Obamacare, or you can serve in the United States military. And I may be crazy, I may be nuts, but I believe spending time in the United States military supporting your country as a member of the armed forces is just as good, if not better, than kicking in a bunch of money for Obamacare. Now, am I crazy?
No, I did not mean to say that people that serve in the military. You're saying there are ways of serving one's country.
Absolutely.
All right, and I grant you that. And there are ways of contributing.
Yes, there are ways of contributing that don't have anything to do with siphoning millions, if not billions of dollars, right out of the pockets of taxpayers.
Well, hold the phone, because, as I said, there are middle class, you know, contributing people, the sustenance, as you say, who are people that are of differing opinion on this. So I don't think the Republican Party is necessarily representing all small business owners.
No, we don't claim to represent all of them. We represent the ones that feel that their money is better spent by them to expand their businesses, to employ people, to enrich their community, rather than turning it over to Barack Obama so he can come up with some half-assed, half-baked idea on how to get the...
Now here's where we get back to Colbert.
If I could just finish to get the I got to start all over again. To the half-assed, half-baked, you interrupted me right there, Phil.
I apologize, Larry.
No. I'm not asking you to apologize. What did you say?
What did I say when?
When I came back and I was talking to you. I'm sorry. Hi, Bill. It's Dean Wheeler. I'm back.
Okay, hold on for a second.
Yeah. Oh, God. Now I'm really confused because now I got to listen to this guy. I'm sorry. What's the problem there? I came back on here. I just talked to my wife. Okay, this is her second set. Come on, do I got to listen to this guy?
No, hold... Dean, can you...
All right, Phil,
I'm not allowed to watch my own wife, a woman that I love who is having a debut here in Southern California. Okay, I'm listening to you guys. All right. Phil, when I said that half-assed...
You said that it's better for the business owners to hold on to their money and to expand their businesses.
Right. I got it. They hold on to their money and expand their businesses instead of handing it over.
Hold on. Here's this horn player again. God, I hate... No, I... Okay, I'm sorry.
Can I finish what I'm saying, sir, without having to listen to you threaten horn players?
I'm not threatening anyone, sir.
Yes, you were.
All right, Larry.
Okay.
No. She's doing it all wrong, okay? I want her to walk like this. Here's what...
What's he doing?
Dean!
Oh, he missed it again. Boy, that bugle player. I mean, Mr. Henry said it's a cornet.
Do I get to say something?
Hey, Dean.
Hold on. Oh, she blew it. Now, see, she's getting sloppy just like that horn player. That guy, he's a smack addict if ever I saw one.
And I'm hanging the phone up here, Phil.
All right, Dean, I got to put you on hold. I'm sorry.
Well, you can't put me on hold because I'm the whole reason.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. Now, when I said to you...
You said to me, and I said to you... We're talking, okay?
Right.
All right. What happened was this. You said that it's better for a guy to hold on to his money...
Boy, there's a beautiful woman. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but they had a lady on. She says, hi, I'm 62, and my life's just beginning. She's a piece of tail for 62. Did you ever see it? Bill, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, and I want to finish this conversation, and I don't want to be sidetracked at all.
I thought you would be happy to hear me say that I found a woman interesting because I have not had normal relations with a woman since Marcy and the girls left. Sorry I brought it up. I'm sorry. I won't ever mention it again.
I'd appreciate that right now. Yeah, I would.
That I never mention it again.
That you'd not mention it now.
Jeez.
Phil, I think that's a little hardcore.
Yeah, but thank you, Ms. Bray.
Okay, I'm not asking anybody's opinion. I want to finish this conversation. I'm going to throw this phone through the wall.
You're going to throw the phone through the wall? Well, okay, General Rommel.
It did sound a little crowded. Well, not crowded. It sounded...
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to throw the phone through the wall. I'm going to start throwing people through the wall.
Is that a threat on me?
No, Margaret. You will not be dealt with that way, but these two will. So anyway, you said, Larry, that I said, you know, you said there's ways of them contributing, and then you said, not some half-assed.
Yeah. It was not some half-assed, half-baked, half.
And then I jumped in and I said, I forget what I said.
Well, you jumped in and you butted in. Just butt in with something, so I'll get my train of thought back. Half-assed, half-baked.
Okay, butt in.
Half-baked, half-assed. I can't think of what it is. Let me try it again. It's better that they leave, that they have their money, Phil, and they do with the money what they want to do than to give it to some half-assed, half-baked, half-assed...
Okay, butt in.
Half-baked, half-assed... God! Forget what it is.
What's he trying to do now?
He's trying to remember what his point was.
Well, look, Larry, this is Margaret Gray. I do have a couple of questions.
Yeah, it's fine, Ms. Gray. You don't have to announce your name every time you talk to me. It's like you're walking around with a neon sign.
I want to be able to let the audience know who's speaking as well. I'm a professional broadcaster. I'm not an amateur like you talking on a phone every few months to the host and saying, oh, yeah, you know, you people.
What, you? Oh, you people, huh? So you treat me like I'm black.
You wish. Now, here...
Well, I don't like being referred to as you people.
Okay, come on. Don't get so sensitive, man. The one time that was said was to an audience of black people by Ross Perot, and now everybody and their sister thinks that they're included in the whole you people diaspora, this worldwide...
What do you call it?
Diaspora, which is the... it's like the international... it's like a homeless... A group of people who are spread over the globe because they have nowhere to live, you know, like the Jewish diaspora, or it's the, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, or like the one you said that I was a member of.
And I forget that, too. This has been a waste of time, you know.
Well, I don't think it has, Bill. I think that and I wanted to answer that question, and you told me that I could, and I felt...
We just broke up here, Phil. She's gonna have a she's having a break, okay? So the set's over, so let's go. I want to answer the question.
Okay, what do you think about Stephen Colbert saying that Mitt Romney, his tax plan is a fraud because Colbert answered that question that no one could answer?
All right, here's what I think, since, you know, Larry was stumbling around. I think that the way... Just, Phil, I swear to God, just one second. Just, I swear to God.
Oh, man, he's lying.
Don't call me a liar, okay? Don't call me. I'll come through the phone. I'll come through the phone.
Yeah, you'll come through the phone. You're a wimpy liberal, okay? And you're lying. You're lying through your teeth because you said to Phil it'll be just one second.
It is. It's going to be one second. It's just going to be a little bit. Okay, but don't call me a liar. I'll come right through this phone line.
You're a lying little wimp-ass liberal.
Okay, hold on for a minute. I told her to walk like this. So when she goes, da-da-do-do, I want her to go 1 foot forward, 1 foot forward. Don't look at my ass like I'm, okay? What are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Well, I'm not a homosexual, okay? So I guess your night's shot. Okay, so when you go up there...
Who are you talking to?
I don't know.
I'm talking to the choreographer. See how she's singing right now? Look, because I'm going to tell you, when we go on stage at the Bowl... No, we're not booked yet, but I know she'll be at the Hollywood Bowl. I know it. Okay, look at see what she's doing? Now she turns. She's got that big ass. Why is the audience going to look at that? I want her facing us. So she goes, do-do-do. See how I'm walking? You see me showing my ass?
No.
Don't look at me like... Okay, Phil, I just had to get that straightened out.
The only thing you got straightened out was that guy.
Okay, now hold on. Your opinion.
My opinion of the Stephen Colbert a bit was it was dead on right. Mitt Romney has talked himself right out of this campaign by saying, oh, I'm going to close the tax loopholes, and that means these people won't get away with not paying taxes. Well, then why do you need to cut taxes for those people?
You need to cut taxes for those people because they're closing the tax loopholes.
They're closing the tax loopholes to get more taxes out of them.
Yes, to get the taxes that are owed them out of them. So once they get the taxes that are owed them out of them, then they cut their taxes.
That doesn't make any sense, Larry.
Oh, get out of here. You're only sticking up for this guy. And by the way, don't think it was lost on me, Mr. Wheeler. You're doing some little dance for that guy.
I wasn't doing a dance, sir. I was showing him what I wanted my wife to do. Okay, that's done.
What are you doing?
I'm coming to the phone.
This guy believed it.
Thanks a lot, Phil.
Who the hell are you?
I'm Dean Wheeler. Did I tell you to come to the phone?
Oh, my God. Please don't.
Did he go through the phone, or is that a joke?
What happened?
He went through the phone. He went right through the phone at Larry Grover.
Bull crap, man.
I don't believe it.
Did you see me setting that up? Did you see me telling him what to do?
I don't believe it.
Well, whatever happens, I mean, I'll tell you this much. If Larry, I'm going to try to reach them right now.
Line's busy.
The line's busy. The line's busy.
The line is busy? What? Most people have call waiting. I don't believe that.
That's what I'm getting. I'm getting a dial tone right now. Yeah, there it is right now.
Now, when you call him back, I want that up on the air so we can hear, okay?
Sure.
All right, we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show, Larry Grover and Dean Wheeler talking about Stephen Colbert's question on his show the other night, which completely destroys Mitt Romney's tax plan. Why close the tax loopholes when you are cutting taxes? We'll be right back. Phil Henry
Truth
Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah.
Where's Larry Grover?
I'm not here. Hold on. Yeah. Don't whisper. God. I hope she burns in hell for what she's doing to me tonight.
What's wrong, Dean?
We rehearsed and we rehearsed and we rehearsed. Oh, that sucked. That sucked.
It sounds like she's got a good reception.
I don't care. That sucked. It sucked. Hold on for a minute, Phil. Emeralda, honey, it sucked. Get over here when you get a chance, huh? She's hanging around with that piano player. She's hanging around with a horn player. What does that mean?
Where is Larry? Hold on for a minute. Where's Larry Grover?
What do you mean, where's Larry? I know where Larry Grover is.
You went through the phone line on him.
I didn't lay a hand on him.
Well, where is he?
He got scared and hung up, I guess.
Did you actually?
Yes, but I didn't touch him.
Yeah, I can't get through to him. Line's still busy.
Probably got his phone off the hook because I scared the living hell out of him.
How did you go through the phone line, man?
I'll never tell. At least not when the sun shines. That's a line from.
Yeah, I know, Heartbreak Ridge. So what? How are things going over there?
Don't you want to talk about this guy Colbert?
Yeah, I've been wanting to talk about Colbert for a full hour, and you guys never wanted to address it. You want to listen to your wife?
Well, I don't want to listen to her now, okay? Because if I listen to her now, I'm liable to start tearing this place apart. I'll throw this place in the street. That's what I'm saying. You heard me, Jerry. You heard what I just said, right?
Hey, Dean.
Hold on, Phil. I'm okay.
No, you're not okay, Dean.
What?
Don't start talking that. What happened?
What happened was this. Emeralda's up on stage. We rehearsed all afternoon. She gets up on stage. She starts doing a song that we've rehearsed, and she starts giving eyes to this bugle player. She starts giving eyes to the guy who's on the piano, and the next thing you know, for all I know, they're in the dressing room right now, and it's some hot mess of a three-way.
Oh, come on, man.
I don't know what's going on.
Well, let me ask you a question, Dean. She got a nice reception there. Are you sure that your ear is the ear to be, you know...
Is the ear to what? Is the ear to listen to my own wife's music?
Well, to be the management ear.
Yeah, I think so. I've been listening to her sing. Phil, you got to understand something. When I married Emeralda, she didn't want to... She didn't even know she was going to be in show business. All she wanted to do was to grow weed. That was it. That's when I met her, she was growing pot, okay, and selling it. All right? I'd been in jail. You know that I'd been in jail, right?
Yes.
I'd been in jail for heroin. I was a fugitive from the state of New Jersey. There was I'd skipped bail in New Jersey. I was wanted by the state. I'm living in California incognito. And I'm trying to get my life together, right?
Okay.
I meet Emeralda. I marry her. She's dealing weed. That's not as bad as, you know, what I was doing, heroin. She's selling pot, and she's making jewelry. This is what she was doing. She meets me, and we begin to formulate this idea for a new age kind of a deal, and we have people, we do yoga and all of this, right?
Okay.
And we start to make some real money. And now we have a beautiful home, and everything's nice. And I made the movie, the documentary on I forget what it's about now because I'm so torn apart.
It was the documentary. You came on our show to promote it.
Right, and I don't even remember what it's about. Do you?
No.
See? It can't even be that memorable. You don't remember it. I don't remember it. You know what they remember, though? They remember her singing. And when I heard that, I said, now we got something. And I said to her, here she's back. She's back after probably giving oral to half the band.
What a thing to say, Dean.
I can't take it.
Look at...
Hold on. There it is. Oh, she's snapping the fingers. She's doing everything wrong that I told her. Don't snap the fingers, okay? And that xylophone player, I can't take it.
I think it sounds good.
Dude. Come on, baby. Belt it out, will you? Give me another drink. Hey, you. Give me another drink. Don't you think I've had enough? No, I don't think I've had enough. In fact, I haven't had enough. Boo-boo-boo. Oh, quit whispering, will you, baby? Belt it out. Come on. We got a lot of work to do.
I think she sounds good, man.
That's because you don't know what you... No one who's there. No one who's there. No, she's got to walk like this. Eddie, come here. See what I'm doing here? I'm wagging my ass. Don't look at my ass, okay? Well, look nice. I'm not one of them, okay? No, I'm telling you, I need her to walk like this. Okay, then she wags the ass, then she swings around and she goes, and I love him, or whatever the hell she's singing. You need to confess. Oh, for God's sake, is she on this stuff? Let me ask you a question. She had something to drink tonight?
What's the matter? She sound like she's drunk?
She doesn't sound like she's drunk, no. She sounds like she's been... Tell you what she's been doing. gun that she shoot up that? I think she shoot that.
Oh, you got to be kidding me, Dean. Come on. When I first met you guys...
Yeah, when you first met us, a lot of things were different, Phil, when you first met us. It was a beautiful world when you first met us. There were things that we had, dreams that we had. We had our beautiful little place. We were growing herbal, whatever the hell. We were treating the old ladies, you know. We were doing yoga. We were making a nice dollar. We made a beautiful dollar. And now she gets a little taste of fame, and she's in the back doing smack and servicing. Get half the band and probably some of these guys that are taking the serving trays back in the kitchen. Oh, God, that's terrible. I can't listen to this. It stinks so bad.
I'm going to let you go, man.
Yeah, sure. Drop me right here with us.
He is really depressed, and we'll be back. The world. Talk about somebody that sounds like they're back on junk. He does.
Why?
That he went through the phone line, all of that stuff.
Oh, he's got a hallucination.
What happened to Larry?
And line's still busy.
That's the only mystery here. We'll be back to World Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Come on, baby, come on! Give me another drink. I said give me another drink. I'll make it myself, man. I'll make that all stirred with your head.
Phil Hendry. Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and funny is her sister, and we're one big happy family here. And online at philhendryshow.com, the online home, the worldwide web home of the Phil Hendry Show is philhendryshow.com. Tonight and every night, you can watch a live streaming video cast of our show. It is Phil TV in HD. Do you know what Chartbeat is? I just was looking at the Chartbeat numbers for our live views. I'm always interested in knowing who's watching us live as opposed to who's watching the on-demand the next day. And it's very interesting. The live views of the show are going up. Now, it's on late. It's on late on the West Coast. It's on in the middle of the night on the East Coast. And yet our live views for our video cast, Phil TV, are... spiking a little bit. I don't know what maybe the TV, that the regular TV sucks these days. And they're like, oh, what the hell? Let's go see what Hendry's screaming and yelling about. For those of you who are watching on Phil TV and HD and you see that horrific-looking left eye of mine, that it is getting better. I know it doesn't look like it. It is getting better. I don't know. I woke up Sunday morning, this explosion of blood vessels in that eye. Something happened, and... So it is improving. If it doesn't get, you know, completely cleared up though by, you know, a certain point in time, let's say 3 years from now, no, I'll hit up the doctor. Don't worry about it, because I know you guys really care about my health and my well-being. Yeah, sure. Anyway,
sorry, dude.
I know they do. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. 877-876-7445. And tonight we're going to discuss. We're going to discuss more employee relations and business relations as well as economy with Bob Green from Fraser Foods, which has been very, very much on our mind as of late. Is the economy improving? Is it not? There has also been an interesting piece of news that affected the art world as well as, I suppose, the world of business, and that is the sale of a painting called The Scream by Edward Munch. For $120 million, and if I'm mispronouncing the man's name, I apologize, I should know it, but I unfortunately am not that well-versed in the art world. Can you believe that? $120 million for The Scream. On the line with us from Fraser Foods in Buena Park tonight is Robert Green. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Phil, and believe me, you're not alone with the... with that painting.
Well, tell me about this conversation that you had with the young lady, Dahlia Bertelli, was an employee?
Dahlia right now, Phil, is an employee. She's not a former employee, but we do have her on she is on suspension without pay until we decide what the best way to proceed is.
All right, tell me, you were talking about the movie Scream, were you not?
Yeah, if you want me to...
Go ahead and start at the beginning.
Well, I was in the market today. I was actually at our Buena Park store today, and we were doing some payroll, and we're going through a couple of end-of-quarter bits of housekeeping financially. I was down on the floor talking to some of our checkers, and I had mentioned that I had watched with my girlfriend the other night this movie Scream, which I thought was pretty silly, but it's a horror movie, and I understand, or a suspense movie or whatever that I understand was very popular. In the movie, they have a villain who has a mask on with that big it looks like he's with the O mouth. I don't know how to, like he's yelling.
Yeah, like he's screaming. That's from the painting.
Well, let me just tell you, in the movie they have that pitch, he's wearing that mask.
Right.
And he's wearing a black hood of some kind. And I had made the joke to my girlfriend, and I made it only to my girlfriend. It was in confidence. And we both laughed about, I wonder why his mouth is shaped like that. And it was totally in confidence. And certainly I didn't repeat that other than with Janice. But when I got to the office today, and I heard Dahlia speaking to a customer about the sale of this painting, she was holding up a copy of the USA Today. And I saw the painting, and that's when I said, that's the guy from the Scream movie. And she said, well, you can see in the newspaper, it's not really the Scream movie, it's a painting called the Scream.
Had you never heard of this painting?
I don't think that... had I ever heard of the painting? The quick answer to that is no, but I also would like to hasten to add, Phil, I don't think most people have heard of it. You know, the art world is, I'm sure it makes news when they saw one of those paintings because the people that are the patrons of the art world are very wealthy people, but for the rest of us, it really doesn't mean much. And when she said, well, but she gave me a look and she said something that was the heart of the problem here, Phil. When Dahlia said to me, well, Mr. Green, or Bob, I think she said, it's a painting, don't you read the newspaper, was the phrase she used.
All right, now that's what you took exception to, right?
Yes, sir. And
why was that?
I thought in front of a customer it was flip. I thought it was a little unkind. But more to the point, the context, we were talking about a painting that went for $120 million. My customers are going to expect that I know about these things.
And but you've already admitted that you don't.
I'm admitting to you that I don't. I'm not talking about the fact I don't know about this painting, but I don't think it's something you say to a customer. You say in front of a customer who is shopping in the store, because what you're saying essentially is, this is my boss. He's not very educated. I'm more educated, and watch how I talk to him in front of you. So she really, she, you know, those are like, it's almost like three fastballs, and she swung and missed on all of them.
All right, so this young lady, Dahlia, how were you talking? Well, you were talking about the movie, right?
Yeah, well, no, I came and I said, you know, I watched that, because I was talking to one of the other people. I was talking to Jerry Reisman, who was one of my, one of the guys who works in the produce. And I said, we watched this silly movie Scream. He said, oh, yeah, that's the one with the mask. I said, yeah, the guy's got this mask where the mouth is old. And Dahlia was checking the customer, and she said, well, that's the painting. And she had talked to this customer, and here it is. It's called The Scream. And she said, don't you read the newspaper? Well, it was one of those moments where the humiliation, everybody's sort of looking at you. You feel as if you've had all the clothing stripped off of you. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. You've just been humiliated by one of your checkers. Understand that I am the CEO of this company. And I have, I fought a long, hard battle to get this business to where it is. And when one of your checkers, she's a checker, stands there in front of a customer, another employee, maybe other customers that are within earshot, perhaps other employees, I don't know, and says, don't you read the newspaper, it was this painting, The Scream.
So you felt insulted and humiliated. What happened subsequent to that?
Well, I asked Dahlia to meet me in my office, and she came back during her break, which I really was, that made me very angry. I said, I'd like to see you in my office, and she didn't come back to the office until she took her break. And
well, did she have a line of customers or something?
It doesn't make any difference if you have a line of customers. You find somebody to stand there in front of that register. When she finally got to the office, she made a comment, another personal comment, about me, and I just said to her, you're on suspension without pay until I can figure out what we're going to do.
And what was the comment she made?
It had to do with, it was a personal comment she made about me, having to do with, I wear a hair system that is my own hair. She made a comment as to its appearance.
Okay.
And
was she being a smartass?
Well, it sounded like it to me, yeah.
Well, so here's a woman who knows, she probably knew that she was in trouble, and she comes back and she makes it worse.
That's exactly right. And I think if there's anything to impart today on your program, Phil, we'll be talking about employee relationships with supervisors, especially your relationship with the man who founded and who is the CEO of the company. See, that's the difference between me and most of these guys. I'm the founder and the CEO of the company. And you still feel free to say to him, no, that movie you saw last night is from this painting. Don't you read the newspaper? And then she went back to talking about art, which is great. I like people that are educated. But when you do it in front of me, you've just made me look and feel small, and now you're going to further inflate yourself by continuing to discuss art with a customer. Now we get back to my office, and she makes a comment about a $15,000 hair system that I wear.
And what was the comment? She just decided to attack you.
Yeah, she just decided to come in there. And I don't know what it is, Phil. I think some people these days... So if you're an employee, my advice to you is this, and I know this is one of the reasons why I'm on the show, Phil. My advice to you is to always, if you can, keep your opinions to yourself, especially when you're around your supervisor, but most especially when you're around the founder and CEO of the company. Your opinions, however much you think they're important, are only going to irritate people that are like me, and don't ever make a comment about how he looks.
All right, Robert Green with us. Hang on, Bob, and it's good to have you.
It's good to be here, Phil.
877-876-PHIL is our number. 877-876-7445. Robert Green has put one of his employees on suspension as we talk about employee relationships, because she was talking to a customer about something in the news and was speaking in a way that was condescending and a bit of a put-down to Bob. They were looking at in the newspaper, the sale of the painting, The Scream. Bob mentioned, isn't that the same face that they had in that movie, Scream? And these people, I guess, talked to him about the artwork. He felt a little bit insecure because he didn't know anything about the painting. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So he put her on suspension. And we'll be right back and find out what else transpired
Truth
there at Fraser Foods.
Bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Until I can figure it out.
Until you can figure it out, right.
On the dial in Florida.
What city are you in? What city are you in, ma'am?
Boca Raton, Florida.
Boca Raton. Could you check, Bill, check Boca Raton and see what
station?
Do you know the call letters? Do you know the call letters of the station? When we say the call letters, is it W something something?
On the dial.
Yeah, but what's the W? The W part. It's W something.
WFEL.
We got a WF, Bill.
WFTL.
Yes.
All right, ma'am. Let's see. We've had a problem with them. What's the problem? We've had a problem with WFTL. We had this station on all day, clear and beautiful. When you go on, you're going to hear all that stuff, right?
A lot of rattling noise and a lot of loud noise. You can hardly hear the people talking.
Were you listening to music, did you say, or are you listening to the talk shows?
No, when I'm listening, put your station on. Let me talk slowly. There's something wrong with when your show starts. There's a lot of rumbling.
Well, now, what show are you talking of? I'm the program manager. I don't know what show you're speaking of, miss. What show are you speaking of?
Phil, what's his name?
Let me check. Who do we got? Phil what? Phil Nolan?
Phil Henry.
I know who it is. It's Phil Henry?
Phil Henry. I just couldn't think
of it. Okay, good. Very good. What did he do?
I want to say, I don't want to bother you. It doesn't come
to me. Yeah, no, you're not bothering me. The problem is we've had complaints about him, so I want to get at least something down, because we've had about three or four complaints in the last 20 minutes. So what's going on? Well, they're talking about the loud noises.
Yeah, there's a lot. One lady, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. You're relaxing in the bed. And I'm used to listening to the station every night.
Right.
And I have to turn it off and put another talk show because there's a lot of rumbling and noise. I wonder if it can be correct.
There's rumbling. Does it sound to you like, do you have a touch-tone phone, ma'am, so I could test do you have a touch-tone phone?
What, dear?
Do you have a touch-tone phone, dear? Do you have a buttons on your phone?
Yes.
All right, do me a favor, will you? Bill, could you monitor this? Hit the number 6 for me. Just the number 6. Hit that. Let me see if this works. I don't know.
And this is every night. And all the other stations.
Yeah, I know, but I need for you to push the number 6 on your phone so you and I know that we're triangulating the audio, okay? So push the number 6.
You want me to push number 6?
Yes, dear.
Oh, okay.
Find out, Bob, find out if the number 6... You need to push it down. Just push it down for about 3 seconds, please. I'm sorry. Should have told you that. What does that sound like?
Yeah, it sounds like a good thing.
Okay, yeah. That's a problem. Your number 6 on your phone.
And
did you press 6?
I mean, I even call your main office to tell them. They say I have to call you.
Did you call the main office where? In Boca Raton, or did you call our main office in Miami proper? Miami?
No, it wasn't in... it's in Fort Lauderdale somewhere.
Fort Lauderdale.
But it doesn't matter. She says it has nothing to do with here. Just call the station to let them know it.
Well, no. Fort Lauderdale, we have a hard time getting the signal out of there. The reason is it's close to the water, as you know. I don't know if you know
what?
This,
I don't want
ocean.
To hold you up. I appreciate
you. Well, you're not holding me up, but the number 6 you pushed was not number 6. I need you to push number 6. That's what Jack Featherby's telling me.
Oh, I'm pushing 6. I see it clearly.
No, dear. All right, we'll do it again, please. She says that's 6.
Something wrong with it.
No, she says that's 6.
No, she's
got
to get some.
Is that a new phone, dear, or is that an old phone?
No, honey, I've been doing this for the last 20 years listening to this thing.
So you know how to... No, but the phone... Is the phone new? I know you know how to push buttons on
a
phone.
I have all
you know
up-to-date phones. Everything's fine.
You do?
I don't have problems.
Are you sure that's 6?
Station on at 1 o'clock in the morning. There's a lot of rattling and noise. See if you can correct it.
What is the rattling? Does it sound like wax paper? Does it sound like he's doing it in the studio? Or is it on the... Is it part of the reception?
I don't think
reception?
It's there's a lot of noise. You could hardly... It's disturbing. You can't listen.
All right, dear, I want you to hang on for me. Hang on for just a minute. I'm going to be with you in 30 seconds because I want to check something with my engineer. Just please hang on.
I'm sure you
Thank you for hanging on. We'll be with you in just a moment. Right, I got a lady on the line here, and she says she's hearing rattling, but I'm just trying to humor her. I don't know what she's talking about. What? Well, she says she's hearing noises.
Hey, listen, I've been in...
She's an elderly woman, and she's probably hearing things.
Now,
they always call it. Let me get back with her, and I'll just pretend.
It doesn't matter. Okay. I'll just won't listen.
Hi, I'm back with you. Yeah, that sounds bad. We're going to look into it. Does your radio? Are you listening to your radio? And by that, I mean, what kind of radio?
I have a Boss radio, $500 radio. I have no problem with no other station.
A bus? You got a bus radio?
Boss, B-O-S-S.
Boss.
Boss.
I don't never heard of that.
Let you hear how beautiful it is.
Does it work? I got to ask you. Is it made in the United States? And I shouldn't ask you that, but I'm going to just between you and me.
What is it? Is it Jap? Is it a Jap radio? Is it a Jap radio?
You don't know what a Boss is? B-O-S-S radio?
No, ma'am. I've been in the business a long. I've never heard of a Boss radio.
Wait a minute. Maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong. Will you please? Let me look at my radio.
Is it B-O-S-E? Is it Bose?
Yes, it's B-O-S-E.
Yes. Well, that's a frequent problem with... No, Bose is actually good, isn't it? Okay, Jack Featherby says Bose is outstanding.
Look,
we think it's a problem.
California, everything clear. It's only your station you get colored, I'm not getting.
You get a colored what?
Most of the stations that come in from California...
The colored stations?
Yeah, they come in... The California stations.
All right, very good, very good. So the California stations are coming in, but Florida doesn't, and you live in Florida. That's a problem.
But your station, is it from Florida?
Yeah. No, I don't know. My station is from is not technically from Florida, although we want it. I come from California, and Phil Henry comes from California, but the show itself
is coming from California. It's not coming through. That's all.
It's in Florida, but it's coming from California.
I know that because I used to listen to the other show before you.
Did you listen to the show that was on in Florida though? And when we were on in Florida,
he was coming in from California.
That's the funny.
He used to have all the
and he's coming in from California
and everything.
Well, he come with a banjo on his knee. You know, listen,
he
here, I'll look into it.
I don't want to waste time. Can you?
Yeah, you are. Just okay. I'll tell you what I'll do. Get another phone though, because that six is broken. I know that for a fact.
No, the six is not broken.
I believe the six is broken. Hit it one more time.
If you get other complaints, please take care of it.
All right. Everybody is calling and saying that their number six is fine. You're the only one that...
All right. I'll see what I can do.
I don't know what else I can do.
All right. Try to correct it.
The Phil Hendry Show. I'll try. Yeah, thank you. Phil Hendry Show. I'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Number six.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. David G. Hall is going to be back with us at the top of the final hour of the show, I think, to tell us more about customer relations. Right now, we do have Robert Green with us. Pardon me, Robert, for that little moment there with David and the listener.
I can understand it was a demonstration of how to handle a customer, but that's what I'm trying to give you here. So you can use that time, or we can use the time together. But I'm telling you what you do with a customer. Now, I had walked into the store. I had engaged Jim Reisman, one of our produce guys. I said, we saw this movie, you know, Janice and I watched this movie last night. It was called Scream. They had the guy, and I went into describing it.
Right.
And that's what I said. Is that where they got the idea for the painting? And she said to me, the checker, she said, well, that's this painting that they just sold for $120 million. And I said to her, that's where they got the idea for the painting then, from this movie. And that's when she said, she gave me that look that I'll never forget. It was a look of almost, it was contempt and pity. And I knew right away what that look meant. It meant that she felt like she was smarter than me. And
well, did you, you said that you thought the movie, they got that scream face in the movie, that influenced the painting?
That's what I thought. I am like 99% of the people that are out listening tonight. I don't know anything about art, and I don't care. I understand art, Phil, is for very wealthy people. I know that you probably are going to disagree with me here. Art is for the wealthy. It is not anything, if I were you, that I would waste a lot of time talking about, because if you think about it, the only people that can afford to own art are wealthy people.
Well, I've got to disagree.
Wait, are you telling me everybody's got $120 million laying around?
No, I'm not saying that you can own the original, but there are prints, there are posters, there are people that have coffee table books of artwork, there are people that go to the museums.
No, no, you're missing my point. You're missing my point. Most people don't know about art because they can't afford it, and they could care less. A lot of the big art pieces, they want to go see the Mona Lisa. I went and saw the Mona Lisa with my first wife. We went to Paris, and I looked at it. I thought it was fine. There were a lot of people getting their picture taken. It was very crowded. It was a very hot day. My wife said, oh, there's the Mona Lisa, there's the Mona Lisa. And I said, you know, fine, let's get your picture and let's get out of here. I wanted more to get away from all those people than I ever in my life wanted to see the Mona Lisa. So in other words, the energy with which I wanted to leave that place far eclipsed any energy that I might have put into saying to myself, gee, I sure would like to go to Paris. Yes, Dan?
I get it. You're not an art fan. So what we're talking about here, though, is the fact that your employee, this Dalia Bertelli, was looking at an article about the sale of the Scream for $120 million, the very same face that inspired the movie Scream. And when you asked, did you see, is that from the movie? And she looked at you and said, don't you read the newspaper?
Yeah, it was like that. It was condescending. And she looked back at the customer. I don't know if you know that look. When they look at you and they smile and then they look back at the person they were talking to, and it's like it's a conspiratorial look of, boy, do you believe this stupid guy? That's what was going on. And so that's what I said. I want you in my office. I waited. It was 5 minutes. So by then, I'm ready to, I was really angry. And she walks through the door and she says, Mr. Green, your hairpiece is on crooked. And that's when I lost it. I said, I'm putting you on suspension. It's not a hairpiece, it's a hair system. It's $15,000 worth. I said, I bet you think you know all about art and, you know, good for you, but this is a hair system of $15,000. Now understand something, Phil.
Well, hold on. I want to be clear. So this young lady is an art fan. She's talking about this with this checker?
No.
She's talking about it with a customer?
Yes, she's talking about it with a customer, the sale of this painting. I said, that's from the movie. And that's when she said, no, it's the painting, the Scream. Don't you read the newspaper? Look back at the customer. Ain't he a dumbass? Look back at me. You're a real dumbass. Didn't say this.
So you're imagining, well, I shouldn't say you're imagining, you know.
No, I'm not imagining anything.
All right, so you feel it was an insolent thing. Now you get upstairs, you're going to talk to her about what exactly was the very thing that you wanted to get across.
Well, it was like what I said earlier. Don't ever pull that with, if you're an employee, and I know there's a lot of people listening to me right now, don't ever pull that with your boss. Don't pull that, hey, boss, here's something about art and all of this fancy spancy that you don't know anything about, and I'm talking to a customer in front of you, and it's like speaking Spanish in front of a guy. If you don't speak Spanish and you're speaking Spanish, boy, I don't know about you, but it really gets me. When I hear people speaking Spanish, I say, talk English, and I'll say it to them no matter where. I'll say it to people that are from Mexico. So when you do that, all you're doing is humiliating the boss. Now I get to my office, and the hair system, she thinks is crooked. I looked in the mirror. I had been combing it, and it might have slipped. I don't know.
This is your hair.
What?
This is your hair you're talking about?
Yes, it's my hair. It's a hair system.
And well, what do you mean by a hair system?
It is a hair. That's exactly what I mean. It's a hair system, and it might have slipped, but when she said, your hair piece is on crooked, that's when I said, I said, just get out of here, get out of the store, get out of my office, and get out of my sight, and don't even think about calling me or anybody here until such time as we decide what we're going to do with you.
Well, what have you decided?
We're going to dock her a week's pay, so she's on suspension for a week without pay. She can come in and work if she wants to, which I would take as a sign that she really wants to get back into the family. But she's not going to get paid.
So you're going to have you would accept her back working, but
without wages. Yeah. In fact, we encourage that so that I can tell that they really mean, you know, they care about the business.
Wow. 877.
What does that mean? Wow.
Well, Bob, I got to tell you, first of all, you've suspended her without pay, but you will accept her working there for a week. In fact, you encourage her to come back and work, but she's got to work for free for a week. Secondly, you call it a hair system, but there was, quote, some slippage.
Let me tell you something, my friend. It's not a hairpiece. Do you understand that? Do you know the difference?
No, I don't. I don't.
Well, Phil, it's very interesting because I've seen pictures of you. You've got no hair. And
no, you're right, but I don't know anything about hairpieces.
Never worn a hairpiece.
Never.
Well, I don't understand it. You're claiming to me you've never worn a hairpiece.
No, I never have.
Have you ever had plugs? Well, you don't have hair plugs.
No.
So you're one of these guys without hair, and you don't wear a hairpiece. You've never had hair plugs. And that's so that those of us who don't have hair and do go for a hair system, that's to make us feel even smaller than we do? Or what? I don't understand the point. And
I don't know. I'm not looking to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not hurt. I just don't wear a hairpiece. And I never have. I'm not looking to upset you.
You're not upsetting me, Phil. It doesn't upset me. It's your attempt to upset me.
I'm not trying to upset you.
Well, guys that wear hairpieces, you're trying to walk around like you're better than them, right?
No, I'm not trying to walk around like I'm better than them. No, I'm not. I don't wear a hairpiece. I don't have hair plugs. I don't have a hair system.
Well, look, I didn't... That is my hair. It's my hair. And, I'm getting off track here.
Exactly. I don't want to talk about this. It's your hair. There was slippage. I don't know what that means. I'm not going to get on an argument with you about it. You said to her, don't ever talk about my hair system.
No, I didn't say she said it looks like your hairpiece is crooked. And that's what I said. Get out. Get out and don't even think about calling me or anyone here. And
how can you enforce that?
I just tell my employees I don't want you talking to Dahlia. If she calls, hang up. I don't want anybody here at the store talking to her until such time as she decides to come back here to work without pay or she stays home without pay.
If she stays home without pay, will you bring her back?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've already decided I'll bring her back, but she's not getting paid. It would go better for her if she came back here and worked without pay so that I know she's on board. I don't know she's on board if she doesn't do that.
Well, Bob, all she did was point out to you...
Don't tell me about how to handle my employees.
All right. I'm sorry. All right, so to recap, you thought, after seeing the movie Scream, that character influenced Edward Munch and his painting, The Scream. You were corrected by your checker, Dahlia. That angered you. She also commented on your hair system that you said there was slippage.
That's correct.
And so you then suspended her without pay.
That is correct, yes. And again, Phil, I think the lesson to be learned here for anybody listening as an employee, when you're around the boss, of course you want to watch what you say, but if you're around the guy who's the CEO of the company, like that's me, I'm the CEO and the founder of the company, so that's... There's a whole lot of power being packed into that one moment when I walk in the store. Because what I am is not just the boss. I'm the head of the company, and I'm the guy that founded the company. It's like, I'm not calling myself George Washington, but it would be like if you went to work every day and there was George Washington. So there's a lot is being said when Bob Green walks in the store.
Okay.
And when she turns around and says, well, guess what? You don't read too good, do you? Because this is a painting, and it's $120 million and blah, blah, blah. That's going to, obviously, don't ever, ever, ever open your mouth that way to a guy like me. That's all I'm trying to say.
All right, we're going to be back here with Robert Green in our final segment. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And his checker, Dahlia Bertelli, a young lady who apparently corrected him. She said, no. The mask in the movie Scream did not influence the painting. It's the other way around. There was a painting called The Scream by Edward Munch. It just sold for $120 million. Bob was offended by her correcting him in front of a customer. She made a comment about his hair system, and he has suspended her without pay. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And he had slippage. He wasn't crooked.
world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry here with Robert Green from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. We continue discussing employee-employer relations and the recovering economy, we hope. And while it is true that we, you know, obviously we have to show workplace conviviality and etiquette and being polite, you're not asking an employee to grovel.
No, I don't, Phil. I'm not asking for groveling. What I'm asking for is if you are have a certain erudition in art and you're standing there with a customer and the two of you are talking about the art that they sell. Again, I think you have to be very wealthy to care that much about art because only the wealthy own it. And when she started talking like she was, you know, something special, and I stood there, and I remember Jimmy Reisman, who came in from Produce, I mentioned, he kind of looked at me like I was less a man than him. So.
All right, let me just take a phone call. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Here is Court. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Court, go ahead, please.
I was flipping through the radio stations, and I overheard this conversation, and I honestly couldn't believe what I heard. I you'd think that a self-made man that's on the same caliber as George Washington would know the difference between a low-budget movie and a priceless art piece. I don't understand how you can
I don't consider myself. I don't consider myself George Washington, sir. I was making a comparison. It was a bad comparison. I'm simply saying that. Well, what do you do for a living? I mean, if you.
I'm a truck driver. I'm a 25-year-old truck driver. I don't have any art education.
Do you own your own business?
I drive a truck. I drive a truck.
No,
that's all I do.
You can drive a truck and own your own business. If you own your own rig, you own your own business.
But, no, I work for a company. I drive a dump truck for another company.
I can tell you that
I know the difference between an art piece and a low-budget movie. So, thank you. Have a good night.
You know the difference between an art piece and a low-budget movie. Really? You've watched this movie? No.
I think that the guy is basically saying...
Well, he's a guy who's a dump truck driver that thinks he knows more about art, thinks he knows more about life than me. So that is a double whammy there. So that's two in the course of 6 days. No, 5 days.
And what is two? So in other words...
This is a dump truck driver, and the other gal was a checker. Do you understand what's happening here? So I stand there and I say, I saw the movie Scream. It was really interesting. And it looks like the guy, that guy with the mask, I think it inspired that painting you're talking about. And the checker says to me, and now the dump truck driver, oh, guess what? The painting came before the movie. I didn't know that. Why would I know that? And where does the dump truck driver get off saying, boy.
Well, he was, I think he was angry by the fact that you didn't know. And
didn't know what? Most people don't know.
How do you know it's most people? You know.
Oh, come on, Phil. I said to you, does anybody own this?
You know, I don't think you have to own it. I mean, I think there's certain pieces of art that anybody would know. For instance.
Yeah, I agree with you. Mona Lisa is one of them. Whistler's Mother is another one.
Right. Whistler's Mother, Mona Lisa. What about Starry, Starry Night?
I don't know that. Is that Starry? What is that?
That's the Van Gogh with the stars.
No. 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 You're getting into the art world. I'm talking, if you and I want to talk the language of the common man and not some truck driver that wants to be something that he isn't and my checker who's telling me about my, tries to tell me what a hair system is supposed to do and not do when it's on a head or on my head. If you want to tell me that that's the conversation we're going to have, well, thank you very, very much, but I've got other things to do. Have a very pleasant good evening. However, if you want to have a rational, adult conversation about the pieces of art that an average man would know... And
you don't think that the average person would recognize Starry, Starry Night as a Van Gogh?
See, right there. Just don't say... Right there, that's the way she was talking. You don't think that a da-da-da-da-da...
Well, come on! All right, let's...
All right, you just stop for a minute.
I was going to say, let's talk about art pieces that everybody would recognize.
I'm going to tell you what they are. Just you not say anything.
Well,
just please don't say anything. I'll tell you because that's what I do. I work with the public every day. I know you do too, Phil, but you're doing a radio show. You're not standing there on the floor of the produce section, the floor of the deli section, and the floor of the meat section. You're not standing there near the checkout stand and listening to them day in and day out, listening to their problems, listening to their triumphs, their dreams, their fears. You look at their children, and sometimes you want to cry. Sometimes you take a look at a woman's kids, and you want to weep because you can't even imagine kids that look like, I'm being honest, you can't imagine a woman with kids that look like that, that they're going to have any chance of influencing or impressing people when you've got kids that are looking the way some of these kids look.
And look, I don't want to talk about the way someone's kids look. You're going to mention art pieces, right?
Yes, sir.
Mention some art pieces that everybody would know.
Okay, Whistler's mother, you know.
What's wrong now?
Nothing. Whistler's mother,
I apologize, Bob.
I have to apologize. Whistler's mother, Mona Lisa, the one with the farmer, Farmer Brown?
Farmer Brown, I don't know.
Oh, give me a break. The farmer!
American Gothic.
What is that, American Gothic?
Are you talking about the guy standing there with a pitchfork?
Yes, exactly. I call it Farmer Brown. What is it?
American Gothic.
All right, American Gothic. That's one people know. They know Whistler's mother. They know the Mona Lisa. The one with the nude. You know, he's nude and he's touching fingers with another nude. I think it's one of those medieval... Gay, it's a homosexual piece from the medieval times.
What is it?
The nude, two nude guys are touching fingers.
That's God touching man. That's the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel.
This is what I'm talking about, Phil. You know, it's amazing. You know, the average...
No, don't give me the average man. Two nudes and it's gay. That's God.
Which one's God, the nude?
No, the guy with the gray beard. You know, like maybe the older guy? That's God, the Sistine Chapel is ceiling, and he's touching the finger of man. He's giving life to man. That is the Sistine Chapel.
You know, you're so full of crap, dude. Good night.
Unbelievable. World famous Phil Hendry Show. David G. Hall will be back on with us to talk about employee relationships and customer relationships when we return here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show, as we talk tonight about the reviving, we hope, economy and how, as employees, we get
Phil
along with our employers. I guess I talked too long. Phil Hendry Show, broadcasting from the shores of the El Pacifico. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. We're on every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. David G. Hall will join us here, the Vice President of Syndication, in just a moment to talk to us about our discussion here that we're having this evening about the resurging economy, relationships between employees, employers, so on and so forth. We'd like you to visit our website, philhendryshow.com. This is where you can get a backstage pass to the Phil Hendry Show. Go behind the scenes, watch us as we produce the show, watch us as we perform the show, watch us between, in the commercial breaks when we're just, you know, screaming and yelling and I'm getting upset and I'm throwing things and Dan's telling me that he's going to quit. It's fantastic. Then, of course, our News and Information Hour, Bud, and you'll see Bud and Robert, yes, sure. And it's great. You also get access to our thousands of hours of archive material. And while you're there, visit our souvenir shop. The Phil Hendry Shop has the new Teds of Beverly Hills hoodies. You got Phil Hendry Show baseball caps, as well as T-shirts, as well as coffee mugs. We got a fantastic cappuccino mug. Is that what that is? It's a big one, man. And shot glasses, just in time for the summer. A true original, the Phil Hendry Show shot glass. You got to have that. In fact, I'm going to be playing poker this weekend with my very dear, close, personal friends, a bunch of guys whose names I am not at liberty to divulge. And anyway, because I'm on a diet, tequila is only about whatever the hell it is, 95 calories per ounce. That means two shots of tequila, less than 200 calories. And since I'm doing my 2,000 calories a day, I can get just smashed on tequila at the poker game, lose all my money, but still be well within my limits for my diet. So anyway, go to our souvenir shop and pick up something nice. We also have our CDs. We also have downloads of the CDs. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. David G. Hall joining us, our partner in crime, vice president of syndication for the world-famous Phil Henry Show. David, good to have you on the show this evening. I know that you talked to, and we heard you talking to, the lady who said she heard a lot of noise. So we got a first-hand glimpse at your style with customers, a listener. What did you, you know, what did you take away from that? What did you tell her? What did she tell you?
Well, I mean, you got a listener, a lady, who she called up and said, you know, every time I listen to the radio station, I listen to, she's listening to WFTL and Fort Lauderdale, and I said Miami, and she said no, Fort Lauderdale. I said I appreciate it if you'd say Miami, because it sounds a little, you know, more, it sounds big time, and she'd have none of it, and that bothered me. But I said okay, fine, have it your way.
What's the station?
It's WFTL. It's in Fort Lauderdale. But I said, could you just go ahead and say it's in Miami? And she said no, it's in Fort Lauderdale. So
where was she calling from?
She was calling from Boca Raton, so I guess it made a big difference to her. So. In any event...
Well, I mean, if it's in Fort Lauderdale...
Okay, Phil, fine. You made your point. But I just thought it would be nice if you'd say, hi, I'm listening to Phil Henry in Miami. Miami. You know? You know where that is, right?
Yeah, I know where it is. I understand that. You know, I worked at WSHE there years ago. That's in Fort Lauderdale.
All right, Phil. We can take a stroll down memory lane later. I'm just saying it would be nice if we just... it's Miami, okay?
All right, it's WFTL Miami. There.
God, man, I mean, you know, all I'm trying to do, I'm trying to help you here, okay?
All right, fine.
So she said that she's hearing a lot of noise. She's hearing a lot of bumping and scratching. And I said, where's this? And she said, on the radio station. And I said, she says, I'm hearing noise and screeching and a lot of bumping, and I can't make it out. I said, oh, man, that's not noise and bumping and screeching. That's the Phil Henry Show. Is what I said to her.
Okay.
Oh, bro, come on, will you?
Well, what did you say to her?
I said that we'll check it out. And I said, but, you know, I said, you probably because you're old and your hearing is shot. And
you didn't say that.
Yes, I most certainly did.
No, you didn't say that.
I most certainly did. And she took it and laughed and thought it was very funny. See, one of the problems that you have, Phil...
Wait. You said to the lady, your hearing is shot and you're old, and she laughed.
Yes, she said, ha, 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 thank, you know, I know you're kidding, or whatever she said, I forget. But she was fine with it. One of the problems you've got, we talk about customer relations. A lady calls up, she says, there's a lot of scratching and noisy stuff going on your show, Phil. If she said that to you, she said it to me. I said, yes, ma'am, what is it? I said, what's the show? She said, the Phil Henry Show. And then I made a joke. I said, oh, that's scratchy, noisy crap. I said, that's just Phil's show. It's just scratchy, noisy crap. And she went, ha, 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 and so did I. And that's when I said, but really, it's probably because you're old and your hearing is shot to hell. And she kept, ha, 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 ha. She kept laughing.
And well, maybe she didn't hear you insult her.
Understand something. Let's get you off your high horse. It's not insulting just to make a nice joke.
You're old and your hearing is shot, and that's a nice joke.
If you learned how to do a little bit more of that. Now, one of the problems we had in the last hour, and this is this goes right to what it is I'm talking about. You were talking to Bob Green. He's a longtime sponsor. And he got emotional.
Yes, he did.
I heard that. He got emotional because you raised your voice to him, and I think a lot of people, and it goes back to a very, very young place in a lot of people. They remember being yelled at by their fathers. They remember being yelled at by their... Have you ever cried when somebody yelled at you?
Yes.
When was that? Boy, I can't wait to hear this.
When I was in high school. I remember very vividly crying. I was a freshman in high school, and I was screamed at by this senior because they were hazing us, and I started to cry.
And you cried? Okay, how old were you?
I was like 14.
But you know, I mean, I'm talking about like as a man.
I'm sure I've cried.
No, when someone yelled at you.
Bob, no. I don't think so. Probably...
My name is David.
Dave, I'm sorry. No, I think that as an adult male, I probably have gone off to a hole someplace where no one would see me and cried.
All right. Well, Bob Green was caught. You caught him. You yelled at him, and he started to get emotional. I think he pulled it together, and kudos to him. And I thought that you could have apologized to him. You didn't. Okay, move on. That was then. This is now. All right, fine. One of the things that I worry about are the emotional state of people. If you yell at a man and he cries on the air, how much separates that moment from that moment when someone calls the police and said, I thought I heard a car backfire, and, oh, no, you didn't. That's a body out there in the woods. You see what I mean?
Well, what are you trying to tell me?
What am I saying that you don't understand?
So, in other words, this guy, Mr. Green, cried and he committed suicide.
I didn't say that. I said we have to learn how much distance there is between that moment when you yell at a guy and he cries and the moment when someone calls 911 and says, I thought I heard a car backfire, but now I see what looks like a dead deer, but it could be a man with a pistol laying next to him out in the woods in the snow. How much distance is there?
Boy, you got some imagination going there, man.
What am I saying that you don't understand?
So the guy cries, and the next thing we know, he's outside and he killed himself.
Yes. Now, here's what I was trying to say. You're bald. And I want to just let people know that. I know you know you're bald, and I know that I know you're bald, but the people out there listening, you're bald. Okay? Are you bald?
Yeah, I'm bald. Yeah.
All right. Robert Green, one of our sponsors, wears a hair system. Mr. Green had said, why don't you wear one too, Phil? And you said, because I don't feel like it. Now, there was a moment of vulnerability there. There was a moment in which he wanted to say to you, and you could have said to him, but you know something, Bob, maybe I ought to try it. But instead, you let him dangle. You let him hang there. So when a guy who is bald asks another bald guy, don't you wear a hair system? How far is the distance between that moment and someone calling 911 and saying, I thought I heard a balloon pop?
Okay, I get the point, all right? Now, I got to take a break.
Well, you got to let me finish it.
I understand what you're saying. I thought I heard a balloon pop. I understand what you're saying. We'll get to the bottom of what David is talking about here when we come back. 877-87. That's not noise and garbage. That's the Phil Hendry Show. Aha! It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, is this 911? Yes. I thought I heard a balloon pop, but it could be a guy.
Right. 877-876-PHIL, and we're on with David G. Hall, and we're going to get to some calls tonight, but I wanted to just talk with David here as we are discussing employee-employer relations, customer relations, and so forth. Now, the lady that called, and she said that she heard a lot of crackling noises, this and that. She had called WFTL. They said it was on the network side, but in point of fact, it's on our radio show side.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, whatever is going on there, I don't know whether it's the phone that you use or the phone system, but you hear an awful lot of the phone static, and I try to explain that to her.
But you also said, yeah, you're some old lady and your hearing's going.
Yeah, and she laughed, too. See, if you know what you're doing, if you know how to talk to people, what I'm trying to say, Phil, they're not going to start to cry, which is almost what happened with Bob Green. They're not going to get angry. They're going to listen. They're going to laugh along with you. Now, I want to get back to the discussion I had. Bob Green asked you if you were bald. You are bald. Bob Green wears a hair system. He's one of our top sponsors. He asked you, do you wear a hair system, Phil, or have you ever? You said no. Now, I know you were being honest, and I know you didn't see any harm in being honest, but do you understand what happens to a man who has lost his hair, doesn't have any hair, and isn't secure about it, and buys a hair system? And
What is a hair system?
Hold on for just a minute. Just let me get out a thought. Buys a hair system, or if you will, a hairpiece, or if you will, a toupee. That is not what Bob Green has. He's got a hair system. Well, let's say he gets hair plugs or whatever. I think especially if it's one of your top sponsors, you make him feel secure. You didn't do that. Instead, you yelled at him. He sounded like he was going to bawl like a baby. This guy's a CEO and the founder of Fraser Foods, and you had this guy almost sniveling, yeah, like a baby. And
well, what could I have done?
What you could have done is when he said, Phil, you're bald, have you ever thought about a hair system? You could have said, well, it's, you know, that's a pretty good idea, but I know you. You don't want to do that. You want to be Mr. Independent, and you want everybody in Radioland to think, oh, Phil's better than that. He's a bald guy, and he's going to stay bald, and there's just no, you know, he ain't going to cover that up. He's bald. And you don't care how it makes someone feel until, hello, 911. Yeah, I thought I heard a...
Okay, can we... The suicide image is really bothering me.
Well, I hope it does.
And I don't think it's accurate, and I think it's very macabre and morose of you. I don't think it's accurate to say the guy's going to go out and blow his brains out.
Bill, bald guys, maybe not all bald guys, but a lot of bald guys don't have a lot of... It bothers them that they're bald. Doesn't it bother you that you're bald?
Yes, I don't like being bald. If they had a pill that I could take and it would grow my hair back, I would tank it.
Do you use any of that Rogaine?
In the early 80s, I went to a dermatologist, Dr. Goldman in Beverly Hills.
Oh, well, pardon me. And
well, I'm telling you, because the guy's very well known.
I never heard of him.
Well, that doesn't mean he's not very well known. He's a very well-known dermatologist. And I took the treatment, you know, he gave me these shots in my scalp, man. And I don't know what the hell it was, Rogaine or something, but then it all became available over the counter.
Well, do you use it?
No, I don't use it, man. I don't use it. I'm freaking bald, Jack.
Well, yeah, but so in other words, you said a pill, but why don't you use the thing? You could get something going up there.
No, you're not going to get anything going, man, at this particular point. Okay?
And do you, let me ask you this. Are you one of these bald guys that wears the ponytail? Because I got to tell you.
No, I am not.
You don't?
No, I do not.
Did you ever?
There was probably a time there where I, yeah, mistakenly did.
Man, I got to tell you.
All right, don't make a big deal out of it.
I got to tell you, though, that is. So I said that to Bob when Bob started advertising with us and before he went out and got the McLaren hair system. I said to him.
The McLaren hair system, I don't know that.
Yeah, well, you know, that's great, Phil. Thank you. Because I was trying to get him as an advertiser and there you are. Oh, I don't know him. So I said.
I don't know.
So I said to him. Are you going to wear that? I said, is that ponytail? Do you like that? And he said, sure, why? And we were going out that night. This is when he was single. And he's been single, you know, off and on for about 3 or 4 years since he divorced his second wife?
I don't know.
All right. I said, what you did there, is that something you like that? And he said, you seem to be uncomfortable. I said, I'm not uncomfortable, because I got to keep in mind, he's a sponsor.
Okay.
I said, no, I'm not uncomfortable at all. He says, well, is there a problem? I said, there's no problem at all. There's no problem at all. He said, well, okay. I said, I just wanted to know, is that the way it's going to be?
Were you talking about a ponytail?
Yeah, he had a little ponytail, bald as hell, like you, but kind of the long hair, only pulled it into ponytail.
And you said to him, is that the way it's going to be?
Yeah, I wanted to, in other words, Phil, I'm teaching you what is called a little bit of skill, social skill, all right? I wanted to send a message to him that he looked like a complete ass. He looked like he was wearing someone's ass on his head. But I didn't want to tell him that, because he's a sponsor.
So instead, You sort of kept asking these questions.
Yes, I said, yes, I did. Because what you want to do is maneuver him to a place where he says, oh, the hell with it. I'm going to take the... He had a little tie, a twist tie or something, that he got off of a garbage bag, and he tied it.
Twist tie from a garbage bag?
Yeah, that's how he tied it, with a twist tie from one of these hefty bags.
Are you out of your mind? You mean the little black...
No, it was the white one that you did to, that, with the ridges.
And he tied a ponytail with a hefty bag twist tie?
Yeah. And again, I can't say anything to him, because that's a lot of money he spends with your show. So he's got his hair pulled back in a ponytail with a twist tie he got from the hefty trash bags. We're on our way out to pick up these two really slamming women. I'm telling you, I picked them out myself, all right? And when David G. Hall says that he's going to set up the women for the night, you don't have to worry at all. You sit back and relax and watch the fireworks begin. So,
what are we talking about?
So you think I got hookers, huh?
Well, what are we talking about?
They're people I know, okay?
All right, I'm sorry. I don't know what you're talking about.
You got some nerve on you, I'll tell you that.
Well, I don't know. You're saying when David G. Hall picks out the women for the night?
They're people I know. They're friends of mine. Here's this guy with his hair pulled back like that. I said to him, hey, how you doing, buddy? He's great. I said, are you ready to go? He says, yeah. Now, understand, he already looks like he's just all wrong. He's got on a vest. He's got on a pair of very tight leather pants. He's got on looks like a rodeo shirt. The whole affair, it's just, he looks horrifying. But I can't tell him, go in there and change your clothes, because you're going to embarrass me into the grave. I can only make, you got room for one comment. And the comment that I reserved it for was the twist tie in the hair.
Let me just ask you a question. This guy came out of his house dressed in what?
He had on a vest. He had on tight leather pants, too tight. And on like a rodeo, I called it a rodeo shirt. It was a Western shirt. And he was wearing those, like, not moccasins, but they looked like moccasins.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I reserved my commentary for the hair. I figure he can look like a clown if he wants to, but that hair and the ponytail, when you're bald and you pull it back like that, you're a loser. Now, Phil, I've been reading these Rommel tweets of yours, and he's another loser.
All right, so the point is what? The point is don't talk about being bald and not getting a hair system in front of bald guys.
Right, because bald guys, if you are in front of an insecure bald guy and you talk about getting a hair system, and that bald guy is thinking about getting a hair system, he's going to feel encouraged. He's going to feel confident. But if you start saying, oh, I'm bald, but I don't care, I'm going to stay bald, and that guy is wetting himself every night thinking about what a cue ball head he's got. I can't.
Yeah?
If he's going to bed every night wetting the bed thinking about the cue ball that he's got between his shoulders, yeah.
All right, well, I understand what you're saying. Make him feel confident.
Exactly.
Make them feel like they're part of the team. Don't lord it over them.
Exactly.
I don't know how you went out with this guy dressed. How did you guys make out with these girls?
Well, that's really none of your business. Boy, that is, you're asking all the wrong questions tonight, aren't you?
All right, I'm sorry. I just wondered how she reacted to Bob in his outfit.
I don't know, but I will tell you this. When I talked to her the next day, she'd had a great time, and I didn't bring up his clothing. She didn't either, but she wanted to see him again.
No kidding.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what saved it. I got his hair out of that twist tie, I think.
Wow. All right, The Phil Hendry Show, 877-876, talking with David G. Hall here, and we'll take some phone calls coming up next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876. Phil talking with David G. Hall here about the employee-employer relationships. We were with Bob Green last hour. And this whole idea of balding and bald men. You're talking about Bob Green, who is a guy that lost his hair and was tying it back in a ponytail. And you talked him out of that.
Yes, sir. And I tell you, Phil, Bob's not the best dresser in the world. This guy's got a lot of money. We went out with these two women, and apparently she had a good time. I talked to her the next day. The young lady was with him. And now, I don't know, but, and he looked like hell. When I went to the house to pick him up, he looked like hell. He lives in a beautiful home in Anaheim Hills.
Okay.
But he looked like living hell. And he thought he was really, He thought he was fly. He thought he was styling. And he's got the hair pulled back and a twist tie. I said, do yourself a favor. You're a bald man. That's when it hit him, and that's when he went and got the hair system. And when you said to him, no, I don't have a hair system, all you do is make a guy with a hair system feel small.
A hair system. That's the thing that really bothers me.
What?
Why doesn't he just call it a toupee? Why doesn't he just call it a hair piece?
It's a hair system is what my understanding is.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let's go over here to Timothy. Hi, Tim. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
And, hey, can I ask a question?
Yes, go
Hello?
Ahead.
Yeah, this is David G. Hall, sir. Go ahead.
My question is, why do you sound like that you're better than everybody? I'm bald, I own two businesses, and I accept all my employees for the way they are. And you sound like you're above everybody. God made people the way they made them. So,
well, that's true,
who gives
but
you
if
the right
bald,
to downgrade somebody?
If you're bald, you're already... In other words, I'm not saying you're bad. I'm not saying that you're not a successful businessman. But in the looks department, you got to admit, you're trailing.
I don't agree with
and
that.
I'm trailing.
Whoa.
Dude, I've got money coming out of my freaking yin-yang. I own a furniture store, two of them, one in Houston, Texas, one in Dallas, Texas. I have two construction companies in the same place. I ain't trailing nowhere.
I understand that, sir, but you're always going to be bald. So you're...
So
what difference
God
does...
God made me this
yeah.
way. God made me this way. I'm proud of it.
All right. But I'm saying that God made you ugly is what he did.
No, he didn't. Let me ask you. I'm going to jump in here, Tim. Hold on.
Who the hell
Tim.
Do you think you are, buddy?
I'm
you
just
sound
saying,
like, you sound
bald,
like you're insecure.
You know,
you're the one that have two guys pick up hookers for you. Not me.
Sure, I know those
guys. Do you have a guy arrange a date for you? But now, what kind
I don't arrange dates. I know
no,
those young ladies. They were not hookers.
Do it.
The guy that I got the dates for. I want to tell you, the guy I got the dates for ties his hair back in a ponytail and he's as bald as a newborn baby. So what?
So
are you
what?
Kidding?
You can't accept him. You can't accept him for the way
kidding?
He is.
Women.
You can't accept him.
I'm not. It ain't about me. It's about the woman looking at a guy with a ponytail and
so
a head
it's
as
about,
naked as...
It is about the woman and the man, not about you.
That's true.
It's not about
and
you.
I want to mention something, Tim. You know, women don't seem to have a problem with bald. Women that I know, and maybe Tim, they don't have a problem. A lot of women are attracted to it because...
I think a lot of women are attracted to it.
Because they think it means extra testosterone, to be honest with you.
What does that mean?
It means...
It means they're better
guys
than
that,
idiot.
It means the guys who are bald tend to have a higher level of testosterone because that's what clogs up the hair follicles.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I've never heard that
yeah,
one, but that
right.
sounds good.
It is pretty good.
Oh, yeah, sure. I think it's a load. I think you guys, you wish it was like that.
Let me ask you a question.
I wish?
Let me ask you a question.
Let me say something. I wish?
Yeah, you
I
guys.
I got seven kids, buddy. And I'm proud of
why don't,
them.
Let me ask, why don't women have male pattern baldness?
What?
Why don't women suffer from male pattern baldness? No, some of them get a disease. Yeah, I know that. But I'm talking about the male pattern baldness. Why don't women get it?
You mean like a baseball?
They don't have the male.
Well, I'm talking about
baseball
what men
pattern?
Get. Male pattern,
that's
yeah.
That's a good question. That's a good question. I can't answer that
well,
one.
What, are you trying to tell me it's because they don't have the male hormone?
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
You know, you guys that are bald kill me. You can't just gracefully be bald. You got to make up fairy tales about... Yeah, you know, women really like it.
Look at man, I don't have a problem with women. You know, I don't have a problem.
We got to make up fairy tales and stuff. You want to know something?
Yeah.
At least we can joke
yeah.
about it. At least we can enjoy it. At least we're not ashamed of it. We're not hiding nothing. We are who we are. We are the men that God made us, and we're proud of it. We're not
I'm
ashamed
trying to
of
tell
it.
You guys.
We don't
I'm
have,
trying to tell you
have
guys.
To shut down other people.
If you're around a bald guy who's insecure about it and he says he wears a hair system, the least you can do is say, hey, that sounds good. I think I'll try that.
Why would I lie to the guy?
Why would I want to do that for?
Because then he's going to feel insecure because you two guys are going to lord it over him and think you're so hot, you're bald, and you don't care.
What? What? If that guy asks me about he's wearing a hair system or whatever the hell you want to call it, and I say to him, well, I wouldn't if I were you because you shouldn't worry about being bald.
Oh, yeah, That guy, thank you, Phil, and the next thing you're going to hear is a pistol shot and a 911 call.
Oh, get out of here.
You want to know what I'd say if someone asked you that? God made me the way he made me, and I'm proud of it.
Yeah, so, yeah, I know. You've said that about 95 times. Right, I know. I've heard you say that about 50 times now since you came on. You know,
what's wrong
with telling you, some bald guy who's about ready to put a pistol to his head because he's as bald as a newborn baby's ass, you know.
You know, David, the only guys out there, and he's got bigger problems than being bald. Psychologically, that guy's got trouble that has nothing to do with his being bald. All right, sir, thanks very much, Timothy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for stacking the calls, Phil, against me and in your favor.
I didn't stack anything. Thank you, sir, for your call. 877-877-877. I like that guy.
Well, yeah, you like him because he agrees with you.
You know, I don't believe that anybody can be this stubborn. At some point, you have to say, well, you know, Phil, you got a point.
Oh, is that how? This is what I love about you, Phil. This is what I love. You keep hammering away and hammering away and hammering away until finally someone's, well, okay, Mr. Hendry, I guess you're right. You won't let people have their opinion.
You can have your opinion, but I'm not hearing anything logical happening here, okay? 877-876-PHIL. Now, we went ahead and called Bob Green back. Is he on the line? But okay. I got Bob Green here at Fraser Foods in Buena Park. Bob, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. I've been listening to David. You're talking about the date that I had.
Yeah. And then, you know, when Trudy called, I talked to Trudy the next day. She said she had a great time.
Well, of course she had a great time. There's no... If you're out with Bob Green, you ride a chariot to the stars. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
But what is this you were saying about how I had on the tight leather pants and they looked bad? I want to say something to you, David, if I could.
Yeah, but David, no, I didn't mean to say that they looked bad.
I want to say something to you if I could. First of all, those leather pants, the look was a sort of a Marlboro Man tough. It's a tough thing. I wear it well. A lot of women like it on me. All right? Now, we were going out for Japanese... What did we eat that night? We had sushi, exactly. So I come striding in to the sushi bar. I've got that Marlboro Man thing going on. You know, you get a lot of these people that are Asian or Asian Pacific will begin to hop to it a little bit if you've got a... Yeah?
Lost the line, Phil.
Yeah, you there, Bob?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm sorry. If you go into a sushi bar and you've got that good, tough leather look, I don't know how to look.
No, I'm not saying you look bad. You look very tough. I was saying...
Yes, you did say I look bad because you said I had on the tight pants. I looked like hell. I had on moccasins. And
you did say that, David.
All right, here. This is what I'm trying to tell Phil. You did say that, David. You know, back me up, Phil.
No. He can back you up if you're telling the truth. He's not going to back you up and lie.
No, excuse me, Bob, but I'm talking to my, you know, my guy.
Well, yeah, but I'm the advertiser.
Yeah, he's advertising.
Yeah, he's advertising.
So go ahead. Just go ahead and suck up.
Well, at least he's telling the truth, okay? So we went in, and I'm wearing leather. I've got on the, you said it was a rodeo shirt. It was a Western shirt. I didn't have on moccasins. It was the fringed moccasin boot.
You were wearing the fringed moccasin boot.
Don't start with me, okay? Because I already heard from this guy.
Can you believe it? This is what I was trying to tell you.
What do you mean, can you believe it? Did she have a good time or didn't she?
She had a good time, yeah.
Okay.
So you were wearing a fringed moccasin boot.
Oh, come on. What is it? You were wearing a fringed moccasin boot. You know, the way that you pretend like you're shocked really gets me.
I'm beginning to agree with David. You must have looked like a real freak on wheels, Jack. You know?
A freak on wheels, Jack. Did you record that?
I wrote it down.
A freak on wheels, okay?
Now, I'm telling you right now, if we're talking about bald, we're talking about bald. Why'd you call up?
I called up because I wanted to take exception to this guy talking about the date that we went out on and how he said I looked like living hell, and I'm quoting him directly. I had moccasins, tight leather pants, a Western shirt, a vest, and I had my hair tied back with a twist tie that I found on the hefty bags. Now he says to me, take the hair out of the twist tie. I did. Do I care? Do you think I care? As soon as I met this girl, I knew that we were going to have a great time. That's the kind of confidence that I have. And when I walk into that sushi bar, and I'm dressed like, you know, I was dressed in a sort of frontier look, and you have a lot of Asian Pacific people who see that look on a Caucasian, they're going to hop to it. There's no question.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, so that, I've been out.
All right, hold on for a minute. I'm gagging on that one.
Oh, you're gagging on what?
Never mind. 877-876-PHIL. Let's take a break. What I just heard there was so utterly and completely asinine and insulting and offensive and everything in between, I can't breathe. We'll be right back here. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth,
man,
is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. David G. Hall and Bob Green joining us. We've been talking about employer-employee relationships. We're talking, and it got into the discussion of male pattern baldness, or men who are bald and are comfortable with it, men who are bald and are not comfortable with it, and I guess men who have hair. David, you have a full head of hair, right?
I have not had that problem, but I, you know, certainly know men that have. First of all, when you say it's a problem, I don't have that problem. I have a hair system. And
all right, but yet at one point you were bald.
I'm not going to acknowledge anything, any imperfection. One of the things that I do, Phil, as a successful businessman, and one of the reasons why I'm a successful businessman, and one of the reasons why I have a very high level of confidence around women.
Well, we were talking about the way you treated that one female employee.
Watch it, Bill, okay? What do you mean the way I treated that one? What I said to her was, don't ever talk to me like I'm some dumbass that doesn't know about art and how to talk about it. And that's what I said to her. So I'm bald like David's bald. I'm not bald.
You got a hair system. That is a hairpiece.
No, it is not. It's a hair system.
Bill, it's a hair system. And the reason why it's not a hairpiece, a hair system, is it $15,000?
Yeah, $15,000.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go to phone calls here. On the line is Max. Go ahead, Max. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with David Hall and Bob Green.
$15,000 just to hide who you are. That is pretty impressive. I had called to say that...
If I can afford it. That's your way of saying you can't.
That's true. I will agree with you that that's not an unfair response, but I think that, you know, my boss used to have a ponytail and bald, and that is not a good look. I think the guy was helping you, and Phil, I think he was absolutely right when he said you need to show more tact to certain people at times.
I think that I was. Look, I don't care. I got great confidence around women.
I think Bill was right about that also, that that women do respond to it. It is absolutely true that testosterone is the reason that men are bald.
Are you bald?
No, I'm not, but I'm starting to thin at the temples, and I got to admit that it does worry me a little. But I don't think I would ever wear a system.
So in other words, you're worried about it, but you do realize it means more testosterone. So what are you worried about?
Well, when it starts to go back a little bit, I'd be worried about it cosmetically only, not from a outlook perspective. I'd just shave it bald.
Why don't you get a hair system?
I'd shave it bald.
Don't get it.
I think that always looks better, even if you're overweight.
What looks better?
Shave it bald.
What?
Just shave it all
well,
off.
You won't have to shave it after a while. It'll just fall out.
Around the collar, how are you growing a ponytail if it's all fell out?
What do you mean ring around the collar? What the hell are you talking
about? That monk look.
You
all have that old medieval monk look where, like, you intentionally...
No, I'm telling you that if you're going bald, you don't have to shave anything.
No, he's talking about shaving the sides.
I don't care what he's talking about. I'm telling him, get a hair system.
They
get a hair system.
Unless you spend as much as a good car
would
cost.
$15,000 Bob Green.
I do not have that kind of money, and I don't think most people do, and I don't think most people know those paintings either, Phil.
Well, would you talk to me and not to Phil, because he doesn't care what you got to say?
Yes, I do.
No, you don't. He's not interested in what you got to say.
He's the one who took my call,
and I'm telling you, and...
He's the one who took my call,
sir. Is this a guy? Am
I talking to a guy or a woman? It's a guy. All right, listen, Max, thank you. Let's move on. 877-876. Phil, let's go to John. Go ahead, John. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, got it all wrong.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I was thinking maybe...
What do you mean he sounded all wrong? There, he sounded all wrong.
Much luck with women with his hair receding the way it is. But
I got all kinds of luck with you. You want to know what gives you luck with women? A big bankroll, my man. A big bankroll, buddy. You buy them a car, you'll find out how lucky you get with a woman.
All right, that's really great advice.
Make wigs like George Washington used to wear? Because that'd be cool, man.
Keep making your jokes, kid. And keep your job at the supermarket, too.
All right. You're the guy that's got the hair system.
I do. I've got a hair system.
I would love to have one like George Washington had back in the day. I'd pay $15,000 for that.
Hey, I got a great idea for you. Go to a costume store and buy a wig.
I don't want a wig. I want a hair system, man. You said there's a difference between a hair system and a wig.
$15,000.
I want a hair system like George Washington had.
I know. It's going to cost you $15,000. That's a lot of groceries to bag. I don't know how long it's going to
take. I would pay that.
You pay it once you get the money. Once you get the money, and you'll be bald by the time you get that money, too.
Okay.
Right,
so what are you doing now?
Love it. That's all I'm worried about. Love it.
The what?
The ladies love that kind of hair, man.
Need speech therapy. You need speech therapy.
Why do I need
therapy? Because this is what you said. You went boo-boo-boo-boo. That's what it sounded like.
Well, I'm down here at Ted's in Beverly Hills.
Phil, I want to thank you, gentlemen, very, very much for joining us.
What are you thanking me for? I mean, all you did is weaken a country tonight, Henry.
Get out of here, okay? Bob?
Hey, I want to ask that last guy, that smartass you had on the phone, okay, talking about Ted's of Beverly Hills and the breast milk and all that. Let me tell you something, kid. Until you've had it, don't knock it. There's an old saying, don't knock it till you've tried it. And especially when you get it from a source. And I'm Bob.
All right. Thank you very much, Bob. Boy, here's a guy that dresses like he's in a polka band, ties his hair back like he's a English lit professor at Reed College, is about 5 foot nothing, and he has nothing but women, and he can't find a wife to save his life. Anyway, and he's loaded too. All right, we're going to come up next hour with our news and information. Did you hang up on them or not?
Yeah, Mr. Hall is going to be hung up on.
What does he want, man? Yeah, David.
You mean what do I want? I happen to be your partner.
Okay, so.
So what?
So the whole conversation's ridiculous. Okay, we're done. We're done.
Oh, we're done, are we? You know, don't tell me that you don't care about your bald head, because you started to get a little crazy as the conversation was moving on to that hour.
Well, what about Green? That guy is not—he's not packing a full load. That guy has not loaded up each shell with enough buckshot, man. That guy.
Whatever. He's a sponsor, and he's got a
$15,000 hair system. The world famous Phil Hendry Show, News and Information Hour, coming up next.
Phil Hendry.